honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our ministers and their spouses, our deacons, my wife Valerie, everyone on the call this morning. I count it a blessing to proclaim the word of God once again. Ephesians chapter 1, I want us to read the first six verses of that chapter, verses 1 through 6, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Starting at verse 1 in Ephesians chapter 1, we will find these words: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. May God bless the reading of his word. Verses 5 and 6 say, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. And with these words in our hearing, we want to reflect for the next 15 minutes or so using the sermon title, God's Family. God's Family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're living in tough times, Lord God. We're living in times of great uncertainty. And at the end of the day, your people and the people, Lord God, that don't know you need to recognize who, in a sense, has their back, who is in their corner, who is on their team. And help us, Lord God, to recognize that you have set up a team. It's your family, Lord God, and we can be a part of that family. So help us, Lord God, all to recognize that we are indeed, if we're saved, a part of your family, and that there are privileges that come with being a part of your family, and that there is a home that is there for your family. So, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word's power. We thank you, Lord God, that by your Spirit that we can receive your word and be doers of your word. Help me, Lord God, to decrease as you increase, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, it's in Jesus' name that I pray and that we pray. Amen. For most of us, our family is the central part of our lives. Especially in times like these, you realize how valuable a family is. The moment you enter this world, a world that is based really on every man for himself or herself, it is family that you can fall back on to look out for your well-being. Family doesn't have to be big. It could be just one other person, or it can be dozens of people, or even hundreds of people. And family is not static. Family changes over our lives. Family can be extended. Family is extended by marriage. It's extended by giving birth to children. And it is extended by adoption. And we're going to talk about adoption here in a minute. But there is another family that is of the greatest value, and that is God's family, the family of God. And that brings us to our text this morning here in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Ephesus is a city that no longer exists, but Ephesus was located on the coast of the nation that we call Turkey today. The people of Ephesus were known as the Ephesians. Ephesus was a center of commerce back in its day, and it had one of the largest ports in the world 2,000 years ago when Paul was alive. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus while he was in a prison in Rome. Paul, he started Ephesians chapter 1 like he did most of his letters, with a greeting. And that's what we read, this greeting. But in Paul's short greeting here in Ephesians chapter 1, we can learn much about God's family, even though it is a greeting. Someone might ask, why is it important to know about the family of God? Or what is important about being in the family of God? It's important because in a world that is based on every man for himself, in a world that is in such a fallen state, it is God's family that you can fall back on. It's God's family that can look out for your well-being. And it's important to know and believe that the head of that family, God himself, and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, will ensure that their family members are taken care of. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this passage of scripture here was written at a time when Rome dominated this part of the world here in Ephesus, when Rome dominated the Middle East, and Rome dominated up into Northern Europe. And knowing the time involved is important, because Paul uses a word here, adoption, in verse 5. And Paul and the Ephesians knew that the laws regarding adoption in Rome at that time and what those laws about adoption entailed. Because adopted sons enjoy the same privileges as natural-born sons. According to Roman law, the adopted person lost all rights in his old family and gained all the rights as a natural-born son in his new family. The adopted person got a new father and became the heir of their father's estate, their new father's estate. The adopted son was an heir co-equal with the other natural-born sons in the family. In Roman law, an adopted child's old life was really effectively wiped out. The old parents had no legal authority anymore over that child after the adoption. In Roman law, if a parent died in debt and that parent had a natural-born child that was adopted by someone else, then their debts would not become that adopted child's debts, because adoption changed all of that. For the adopted child, those debts of their natural-born parents were canceled for their children if they had been adopted out. The adopted child was absolutely the child of his or her new father in every way. And in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is telling us that this is what God has done for us. This is now how God treats every believer in Jesus Christ, because before we were natural-born members of Adam's family with all the effects of the power of sin and guilt. And we were held responsible as natural-born members of Adam's family. But when we were accepted, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, God adopted us out of Adam's family into his own family. Sin debt that passed down from generation to generation since Adam is no longer upon us if we have been adopted by God. We have a new position before God with all the legal rights as adopted children. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And so when it is all said and done, this is what's important, for you and I to know and embrace our status as adopted children of God. If you are saved, you are just as much a child of God as Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. The best news about our adoption into God's family is that it was not dependent upon us. God does not call the righteous, He calls sinners, and he redeems them. God does not look at our outward appearance to determine whether he will adopt us. God does not discriminate based on race or gender. God looks at the heart. God knows that we all have sinned and fell short of his glory, but through faith in his begotten Son, Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we are saved. And so before I close, I just want us to look at three lessons related to this adoption into God's family. Lesson number one, the family of God is accessed only through Jesus Christ. Lesson number one, the family of God, God's family, is accessed only through Jesus Christ. There is no spiritual blessing outside of Jesus Christ. But once we are in him, there is no spiritual blessing that is not ours. It's about Jesus Christ. Let's just look at what we've read here in verses 1 through 5. And let me just point out how in just these few verses it talks so much about Jesus, because we see in verse 3 that we are blessed in Christ. We see in verse 4 that we are chosen in him, Jesus. We see in verse 5 that we are predestined through Jesus Christ. We see in verse 6 that we are blessed in the beloved. Beloved is capitalized there because it is referring to Jesus Christ. Yes, it is about Jesus Christ. Our adoption into the family of God finds its center and its meaning in Jesus Christ. If you want to know that you have been adopted into the family of God, then you must look to Jesus Christ. God secured our status as his adopted children through what he had done through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." Yes, the family of God, God's family, is accessed only through Jesus Christ. There's a second lesson. Lesson two. If you are saved, God's family was your destiny. If you are saved, God's family was your destiny. Destiny. We were predestined to enter God's family. Look at verse 5 where it says, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." We see here in this verse 5 that God's adoption of us was initiated by God himself. That the decision to make us his children was made before either we or the world existed. It was destiny. There was a determination, a purpose on the part of God to enlarge his family by bringing sinners like us into it. It was predestined by God. And if you are saved, God's family was your destiny. And lesson number three, and finally, God's family is God's glory. God's family is God's glory. Look at verse 6 where it says that our adoption was to the praise of the glory of his grace. Our membership in the family gives God the glory. You know, people often think of their adoption into God's family in terms of how it benefits them. But the scripture says that our adoption gives God the glory, not us. Our adoption into God's family arises out of God's own choice to do it. We did not deserve it and could not achieve it on our own, but God gave us this blessing of adoption into his family so that he will be praised throughout eternity. When you go and read the book of Revelation, heaven is all about the praise and glory of God, about how he deserves all the praise and all the glory. yes, God's family is God's glory. And so as I move to my conclusion, think about those human parents that decided to adopt someone to fit into their natural family, so to speak, and enhance it. They may look for a certain race or a certain sex or a certain age, but God, who is holy, went out of his way to adopt those who were the very opposite of himself, to adopt those who were unholy, those who were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it was because God wanted a diverse family from the beginning, from every nation, all coming into one family via adoption. Physical families don't last. We're all going to die. One day, our family members will die. One day, we will die. But this spiritual family, God's family, will last, outlast that physical family. But the spiritual family of God is constantly growing, constantly on the move, and it will last for all eternity. The Bible says that God never meant for any of us to go through life alone. In fact, God hates loneliness. When God created man, he put him in the Garden of Eden, a perfect environment, and the first thing God said was, it's not good for the man to be alone. God wants you and I to be a part of a family. God wants you and I to be a part of his family. Scripture tells us that because of our adoption, God our Father is now approachable through the intercession of the risen Christ. God is available, seated right there with Jesus, and we have access to him. And anyone that believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus lived, died, and rose again for their sins, they can have this access to the Father. Why? Because they have become a part of his family. And so the writer to the Hebrews tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God our Father wants us to come to him. He wants us to fellowship with him. He wants to care for us. He hears and he answers prayer. He wants us to know that we are in his family. And so, brothers and sisters, I know that it gets hard. But I don't care how hard it gets for you. I don't care how many doors have been closed in your face. I don't care how many obstacles that have been placed in your way. Remember this. If you are in the body of Christ, you are part of a family. If you by faith have joined God's family, it's because he chose you, he saved you, he is sanctifying you, and he has called you to faith through the gospel. And you will share the glory of his son Jesus forever. You are part of God's family. If you are saved, you have been adopted into God's family, and you have all the rights and privileges of family membership. So as we leave this call and not God's presence, know and embrace your status as an adopted child of God. Because if you are saved, you are just as much a child of God as Jesus. And so we can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless the preaching and teaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. God, Paul, sitting in a Roman jail, Lord, writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and even this greeting, Lord God, showed us what being a part of your family looks like. God, I thank you for your word and the power of your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that your word has fallen on fertile ground, And if there's anyone, Lord God, that feels that they are alone, if there's anyone, Lord God, that feels like they are without the support of a family, help them, Lord God, to realize they are part of a family. It's your family. Help them, Lord God, to realize that you are the Father. We have a big brother named Jesus, and that we have, Lord God, a body of believers, Lord, that are part of this family. And so as a result, help us all to treat each other as family, Lord God, to love right, to live right, to serve right, walk right, talk right, do everything toward each other as brothers and sisters, because we are indeed brothers and sisters in God's family. And to recognize that there is not a Pentecostal family or a Baptist family or a Methodist family or a Catholic family. There is one family. There is your family, God, God's family. God, I thank you for your word and the power of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for what your word does for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.